Hi, welcome to another episode of Conversations with Meg. This week we are doing something a little bit different. I am talking to my friend Jane. We recently traveled to Egypt together and we share our experiences on how we experienced Egypt together, traveling together, activations of our planetary lines because they're different, and then just the energy of our astrology and human design and how they were different and the lessons we learned. It was a real test tube experience of us living life and experiencing Egypt together and experiencing new things together and kind of uncovering things about ourselves. Huge growth, huge development. Take a listen to our conversation next.
That's probably good because we probably needed like the energy to settle, and yeah, we've both been like all over the place. But today we are finally going to talk about our Egypt trip, which I'm really excited about. It's actually quite nice because now I feel like I'm living back there, and we're going back into that energy in that moment. I even have some alabaster crystal a little bit here on my desk next to me to like remember. Yeah, we're just going to launch into it.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I think we had like some really cool downloads in Egypt, and yeah, it'll be interesting to share like to everyone, like our experience, traveling together, our first mom trip away from our babies,
Yeah.
and we were traveling, at a time that like there was a lot going on in our lives, and then it was this like soul ended up being this beautiful soul trip that we both like didn't know we needed, but knew we needed, but also yeah,
Yeah.
didn't know.
So let's go back to the beginning. I had planned to host a self-love retreat in Egypt. In Cairo with someone else, and then it just didn't end up being what I felt it should be, or I just didn't feel there were just certain things that didn't feel right. And I just, in hindsight, I'm so glad because the energy that I experienced, Meg kept saying to me, okay, so Cairo is on your Mars line, and this is just not great energy, like it's going to be very difficult for you. I was like, that's gonna be fine, it'll be fine, you'll be there, it'll be fine. So in hindsight, having which we'll go into all the different energies in a bit, but in hindsight, if I were to have my first time there, have to host women to be their safe space, to be their soft space, to hold the space for them, and to, yeah, be like understanding and helpful, and it would be very hard for me, especially because of that energy. It would have been quite difficult when I'm feeling overwhelmed by the space that I'm in. Energy wise, to then not put that onto other people. Also, in human design, my spleen is open. I feel other people's energy around me, like I'm very sensitive to it. So, if other people were feeling very overwhelmed, or the energy was affecting them as well, like it was with me, where it's go, 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 Mars energy, I would have combusted. It probably wouldn't have been great. I needed to go there first, experience it. See the place and feel that energy around me to know what it's like, so that if I do go back one day and do a retreat there, at least I know what to expect and how to regulate myself as well. Because I was also, we both have open roots, hey, we were saying in human design, so we both need to be grounded, grounded, grounded all the time. And I just, if I had this group of women that I had to look after, I wouldn't have felt even more ungrounded. So I think it, looking back, it was obviously the best choice. We were always meant to go together. Just you and I, and it was always meant to be this trip because it was not even on our radar. We were like, oh, I always thought, oh, Egypt would be nice to go to. So someone brought it to my radar, and then I was like, oh, that's cool. And I think the only way I would have gone, and you and Siobhan always said to me, like, all your astro and your human design, even Lauren and Kiri were saying, like, your human design is all about work. Like, I'm all about work. I love work. I love the work I do. And also being manifesting generators, like, let's do this. Let's go here. That's I think that the only way I would have gone there was if it was a work thing. And that's why the whole retreat thing was like brought to me from above to get me to go there and to then to get me to go there with you. So I think that's how it all aligned was I wouldn't have just been like, Meg, let's go on a trip to Egypt. We would never, it was only if it was like me, oh, a work. Yes, I'll go work and do this retreat there. And then you're like, I'll come on the retreat. And that's the only way that it actually ended up getting us there. And it was obviously just meant to be the two of us. wholeheartedly believe.
Yeah. So I suppose for people listening or watching, I'm an astrologer and astrogeographer. So I specialize in astrogeography, which is basically like taking your natal birth chart in astrology and mapping it onto the world. I look at planetary energy lines and what we're activating when we're traveling. So going to like where we were born, we have a different energy line to where we are traveling and moving to. We all have different energy lines. So when Jane said to me, I want to do this Egypt retreat, I was like, I looked at mine first, of course. I looked at my lines first and realized that I had a Venus line there. And it was in perfect alignment of like what I needed and what I was focusing on last year was trying to sort of grow my little business that is now my full business. And I, you know, I kind of wanted to go onto that line to sort of activate myself in a way. I have experienced my Venus line prior to going to Egypt. So I knew it was going to be great. And so I said yes. And, you know, it was like also, it was kind of like my first trip away from my daughter. And I was like, you know, I'm going to make all these big, bold moves this year, turned 40. It was going to say no more and yes to the things that brought me joy. This was one of them. So I definitely felt really quite called to going to Egypt. There was also other few things that kind of persuaded me. I had a session with Janelle. I think we both had sessions with Janelle and she was like, Egypt, both of you going there, it's like in true alignment. She felt there was like a past life there. Because Venus is very linked to my South Node, that like was relevant to me because it linked back to my astrology so perfectly. And I was like, wow, it is like, this is potential that, you know, I have actually had a past life in Egypt and I needed to go. Then we looked at your lines, Jane, and I was like, oh God, help me. This is going to be fun. Jane and I have known each other since 2010. We've been like, she started out, I was her client, like was, you know, personal training with Jane. And we've been friends ever since. And I've always kind of always been in awe at like how we've managed to maintain our friendship because we are so different. And I think it's like, it's perfectly to do with our astrology. Like she's a Leo, so she's very outward focused and it's like this hustle, go, go, go. And like she really inspires me to be super brave and super courageous and like just extrovert and like, yeah, just her. If anyone knows it, she's just got this like bubbly, vivacious energy about her that is like contagious. And I am an Aquarius, which is the polar opposite of a Leo. We're like in polarity together, our suns, which is like, I love people. I love helping, but I also like don't like doing things the way everyone else does it. So like, I struggle like with the, you know, the individuality aspect of it. I think we kind of relate on, but for different reasons, I behave differently to her in like almost every situation. And then as we said yes to Egypt, like, so James, Mars line is on was in Egypt and I was a Venus, so that's like literally another polar. And then I looked at the degrees of our Venuses and they are opposing. So like, what are the freaking chances that my Venus in Capricorn at 27 degrees would be opposing her Mars in Cancer at 27 degrees? Now like in synastry, that actually, if we were like, if we were romantic partners, it would be like super sexual attraction because we, yeah, it's like the opposites attract kind of thing in synastry. So like, you know, Venus opposing Mars, if you are looking up your partner's chart and seeing that your Venus is opposing their Mars, that means it's like we're motivated to like love each other like differently. And like there's something about the other person that just kind of like, I really dig this person. And I think that's how we feel about each other. Oh, that's how I feel about you. Yeah. Sure. So I was like, okay, this is like an amazing social experiment to go to Egypt and see what the hell is going to happen. Because just like, if I hadn't have gone, I think that Mars line would have been like quite aggressive. Yeah. It was a Mars DC line. So it's linked to relationships, linked to one-on-one relationships. Your Mars is in Cancer, which is very feeling into your emotions, intuition, and it's in your sixth house. So it's work, your daily routines, your daily habits. And basically, like, I mean, when you're going on a full Egypt trip with like a detailed itinerary and things are running, like, this is like, you know, the friction would have come in, you know, on like getting that schedule the way you like and the way you feel comfortable in delivering services. And, you know, my Venus in my 10th house is in Capricorn, and it's very grounded. It's like very sort of leader driven, like, you know, but there's so much in my chart that actually speaks to being completely opposite to that. So if you just took those placements on their own, you would be like, oh, well, this would be fine. But like, if you have to kind of marry all the rest of your chart and realize like, okay, well, where is Megan's Mars? Where is Jane's Venus? And like, how are they interacting? And I think we only learned that like as we were going, because it was like, we had so many deep conversations. I don't know if we're going to cover all of them, but like and this is what I love about Jane, is that she's like one of these true friends that you can literally tell her, I don't agree with you, I don't like this, and like, no. And then she'll be like, but why? Let's talk about it. Like, she doesn't ever go like, I can't be friends with you because you have a different opinion to me. And I'm a bit like that as well. Like, you know, I actually kind of appreciate having different opinions about stuff. So we come at things from different, like from opposing sides, but we always meet in the middle with like this, like, wow, we're really learning and growing. Look at us.
I think also I'm not scared of conflict. A lot of people are scared of conflict. And I take it back to being a personal trainer for 14 years and having to literally beg people for my money. So like messaging them and being like, hi, just a reminder. And I won't stop. Like every day I will message you and be like, don't forget to EFT me or whatever it is. So I've had to like really become comfortable with conflict and to asking for that kind of stuff. So I think that's why I'm almost immune to it now. Whereas, and then like when someone DMs me something, like the other day I had an argument with someone on Instagram and then everyone's like, just don't reply. I was like, oh no, I'll just keep going. So I literally schooled her on why she was wrong and why she was being judgmental. And I was just like, I speak about it in one of the little podcasts, the kindness one. I'm like, I'm not going to keep quiet. Actually, this is a teaching moment. And like other friends are like, oh, I wouldn't have been able to reply. I would have been like, well. And I was like, oh, I was voice noting you. I was like, oh, I live for this shit. Like, I don't mind. Like I could keep going. Like I could have kept going for like a week. I would have just kept going. Oh, because you said that kind of stuff drains you. Whereas me, it almost like lights me up. It's weird. It's almost like it gives me energy. I'm like, let's keep going. But I think that's the thing, is I'm not scared of conflict. So even if there is like it's about to be a conflict or it is a conflict, the only way to resolve conflict is to talk about it and to move through it. So yeah, we had deep conversations. We might have to do another whole podcast episode just on that, on like maybe we must do one on respect and friendships and things like that, because it was like, it was very much growing. I was like so proud of us.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, so I arrived first by like, by a day. I arrived a day early. And like when I first arrived, actually, the minute I arrived, I think I had like anxiety, a little bit of like ungroundedness. And I felt like, I don't know, I all of a sudden got like fearful. And we talked about that in our human design, like our open roots. I felt like this, like, okay, this doesn't feel safe. And I know I spoke to Lauren a lot about that, because I was like trying to understand my human design in terms of like that open center. But I think I was like apprehensive of like how I was going to hold space for you, because I was kind of conscious that you were the one, you were the problem child. You were the one that was going to have the hard time. And I was like, I need to be her safe space. So I need to like hold space for her. And like everyone around me was saying, you're also on holiday. You're also enjoying, like Megan, like you can't just hold space for Jay. Like you have to like enjoy your holiday too. So I think I kind of went with that feeling. How did you feel when you first arrived? Like, explain to everyone how you felt when you first arrived.
Yes, I had. So you had explained that, like, you know, there's a driver and everything, but like, it's just men. Like, and you know, coming from South Africa as well, we like, I mean, I don't even take Ubers anymore because there's been so many problems here in this country, and not being safe. People in America are probably listening, going, "What? You don't take Uber?" It's not safe here. So I was a bit nervous hearing your thing, but I was like, it's going to be fun. I'm going to be fun. And they were really nice. So as I had a really terrible first flight, I didn't sleep at all. I won't go into the specifics of the person that was sitting next to me, but I was physically not comfortable at all. It was, and yeah, there was alcohol, and it was not, it was probably the worst flight I've ever had in my whole life. And I've flown a lot. So I was very tired. I was like, I've been traveling for a long time. And yeah, when I landed, I was like, okay, cool. So I'm going to find this person. It's always a bit, when you're waiting for someone at the sun, it's always like, you're always like a bit nervous, like trying to find the person, your person. And I was okay. I was just a bit nervous and trying to like make sure that I could see the person, because they like left me there and then they went and got other people. And so you kind of like, okay, am I going to remember his face? Like he just said hello and then went. So I was just trying to like focus on that and then get to the car. And then I knew like, oh, and get a SIM card as I arrived so that I could message you. So it was, I was a bit nervous. I'm like, okay, how's this energy going to feel? So I knew you were safe at the hotel. So I was like, okay, cool. I just want to get to the hotel. But it's about an hour. Hey, it was an hour from the hotel. Yeah, it was an hour away. So it was still quite a drive with like people. And I was so tired. I just wanted to sleep. But then they were talking to me. So I was like listening and just looking everywhere. I felt okay. I didn't feel ungrounded yet. I think when I got to the hotel, I was like exhausted. And I was just like, you know, when you feel, what did I say? That floaty feeling when you feel like you've got vertigo, but you don't. I think I had that the first night because there's just so much travel and being in the air, like two flights. I felt okay. And then Meg's like, I'm like, I just wanted to like rest. And Meg's like, so they said we could do this, this, and this. Do you want to do this on the first? Which I thought, I just wanted to sleep, but that would have been stupid. So that was very Mars energy. Hey, like let's explain how I visualized you when you arrived, like this vision. I'm all sweaty and gross. I walk into the reception. She's like, she like jumps out and she just looks like she's glowing, like her skin looks like she's glowing. She's like wearing this beautiful top that's like just so Venus and just lovely. And I'm like, I feel disgusting. I just want to shower. Like I'm just like, I feel like I was like deer in the headlights. Like I'm a very easygoing traveler. Like nothing really bothers me. I mean, I've traveled a lot by myself even. But I was like, okay, now what? And she's like, okay, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, we're gonna go upstairs, we're gonna upload. But I felt okay, I think, because I was just like, okay, I'm here now, I can breathe. But yeah, that ungrounded feeling, we didn't know what it was while we were feeling that in the beginning. And then only when we were like, after we'd gone out, about, I think it was the next day, we were like, let's reading our human design charts to each other on the beds, reading and going, okay, so yeah, I've got this, what have you got? Oh, read that out. And we were like trying to understand each other's human design and seeing where we were similar and where we were different. And it actually helped doing that at the start, because then we kept bringing it up as we went, and we could be like, normal friends would be like, oh, she's so annoying, I can't believe this, and be like resentful. And I was like, oh, but you feel that way because in your human design, blah, 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 and in mine, blah, blah, blah. So that's why you, and it was actually really nice to do that. Yeah. So mature. I was like, who are we?
But I think also, like, so I remember when I arrived, yeah, I felt like I was glowing.
You were.
I felt like really beautiful and really glowing. And I do think that that was like Venus energy for sure. Also, I had like good night's sleep in a hotel bed, not on the plane, you know. So my flight was like a 4.5 hour direct flight, super easy, and no alcohol on the flight. So it was like, felt really healthy actually. Like, you know, all of that. So yeah, it was fine. I think when I first saw you there, I remember you saying that you had like you were vibrating like a little bit in your chest. And look, that could also be just like, you know, how many hours on a plane, no sleep, you had like the stressful situation on the plane, and then, you know, got in a car with like two guy strangers you didn't know, driving in a country you didn't know. You know, but I did think it was interesting that, like, you know, how we kind of, yeah. And then I suppose when we arrived, it was like this feeling of like, let's make use of the time we're here. Like, we don't want to like sit in the hotel, but then also we're freaking tired moms and we also want to like have a rest. And so there was like, I think looking back, I probably wouldn't have pushed so hard to do stuff that first day, knowing how busy the rest of the time was. But I think I was kind of like, oh my God, we've got to take this one chance. We've got to go and we've got to do these things. Because at the end of it, I was wiped. I was so exhausted from we got up at like 3 in the morning some days to get to drive or to travel to the next place. We were coming home late. I think we were asking our guides. We must have sounded like so ungrateful because we were just like, what time? Like, how long is this going to take us? We want to see the pyramids, but we also want to sleep. Like, what time are we getting back to the hotel? Get us back early because we were feeling tired, like energetically tired. I have to bring up the stuff about the tipping because that is interesting. So if anyone's ever traveled to Egypt, the tipping culture there is wild, like wild, wild, wild. In the beginning, I felt this like, and it comes back to my Aquarius nature, humanitarian, like wanting to give, wanting to provide. Venus in Capricorn, there's a sense of responsibility and duty to like be generous. It's in my 10th house. I feel like it's very public. Like I feel like if I'm not generous, people see that very clearly that I'm not being generous. It's this big issue that I have. Also hate confrontation, so I would rather just people please all the time. Jane, on the other hand, has her Venus in Virgo. She would rather give you her time than her money. And that doesn't mean like her time isn't money. It's just like acts of service is better. That's how she shows her love, doing something practical for you to help you versus giving money to a situation where you're not really sure how they're going to spend that money or tip, in a way. Egypt has this thing where you pay for like the service of like doing this itinerary, and we paid a lot of money for this, trip to make it happen and to, go to all the things we wanted to see. And then it excludes tipping all of the service providers. So your driver, your Egyptologist, which is your tour guide, the person that takes your bags to the hotel, the like waiter, I mean, lots of things you'd be like, oh, well, you tip like that, but it's constant. There's somebody with their hand out everywhere you go. Even the like activities that we saw, those people also expected money. I felt like everyone needed my money everywhere. It was like overwhelming for me. And I know it was my issue. It was 100% my issue. And Jane helped me see, like, no, we have to put boundaries in this. You can't keep giving. We're paying a lot of money. And I remember you like having, like, we actually, it was like one of our first, like, not fights, but it was like a disagreement because I was like, Jane, stop being stingy. We need to give money to these people. And you were like, I'm not being stingy. I'm being purposeful with my money because it's like, actually, it's expensive for me to tip constantly. How did you feel?
Yeah, and I think also with the exchange rate from here, I mean, the rand, shame, bless it. It's not great. So I think also it was the amounts. Like, I didn't mind the tipping, but I think it was the amounts that was expected, like the dollars and stuff. And we're just like, if you add it up every day, it was like a lot of money. And then you feel like you have to because you're only with those people for like the tour people for like 2 days, and then you're on to the next place or what it is. So, and I do think that maybe Americans tip a lot when they do these things. So there's like this expectation, but also like we also live in Africa. Like, well, we are South African, but like I'm like I'm also in the same continent as you. Like I feel your pain too. Like, so it's yeah. I think also here we are quite desensitized to it in a way where we literally. I mean, I drive just to take pay to school. I drive past about 10 people at robots asking for money constantly every single day. I drive past them about 4 times a day. So for me, it's like, okay, yes. Whereas what we discussed was I will help certain charities. I help Corsi. Like I focus my intention on one person. I'm like, everyone needs to look after their people. And if everyone looked after their people, like your Corsi or your Lucky or your whoever. Like I focus my attention on her and I help her and I like give her clothes to sell and I do yoga classes and sell them on my website for her to go and get an education and things like that. Like I'm used to giving my time like that. and my resources in that way. But I just also like the money thing. I'm like, I don't actually have right now. I was like, it's cost me so much money. Like my savings went to this trip that I was just like, I can't keep. I think it's, yeah, but I also think it's maybe it's not just the money, it's the expectation that's attached to it. Wherever you go, like we went to the one restaurant and there was this like 10-year-old girl in the bathroom handing you Rollertal, which she didn't have to because there's a machine. But then she's like, give me money. And you're like, no. I was just like, thank you. And I would walk out. All the toilet attendants and things like that, but they don't expect like R5. They expect like $20 or whatever it is. So I think it was that as well, the amounts as well that just added up every day. We're having to go to the ATM and draw money. And it was just, it felt like a lot. It was overwhelming for me.
It was overwhelming. I think in the beginning, I felt the sense of responsibility to like, because I'm coming from a country with euros, and obviously it's a lot cheaper. But at the end of it, I think what I learned was it really actually, you need to kind of take it back. And it's so funny that, because I'm like, it's, you're probably going to be like, no, that's not what you thought, Megan. But like, it's hindsight. But I think in like, you know, like some time has passed. I think what I would do differently if I went back is, one, I would keep in mind that there is a tipping culture there. And I think that that's really important for people that don't know, if they've never been to Egypt, there is a tipping culture there. And then I think it's like, to give what you can afford, not to feel like you have to give what they expect. It's like, if you give somebody like, I'm really grateful, thank you so much, this is everything that I can afford you to give you, it's a totally different feeling than like, I have this, I feel, because I think while I was there, I felt like I have to give more than what I am comfortable with. And then at the end, I did, I got frustrated. Like, we went to like, you know, big museums and sites that like you couldn't actually get toilet paper without paying for it. It was just wild that like those kinds of things, you know, hadn't been, you know, I wasn't aware that that was going to happen when we were there.
We would
And
have
it's so
packed a
funny
toilet
that,
roll if that was the case. We would have been
I
like,
know,
oh,
yeah.
deal with it.
Because then, you know, I learned that quickly, that I was like, just pack tissue in your bag, because when your backpack, because like otherwise you have to pay like some crazy amount. And I do think in some places we got scammed. We 100% got scammed by that freaking guy, that the camel ride guy. I'm so annoyed about that because we got like, yeah, we got really blindsided, I think, a few
Remember,
times.
I was looking at you like, why are these
Yes.
guys? Sorry, I forget that if you're on YouTube, you can see my face, but I forget about podcasts. I'm just like, I was looking at her like, no, why are we, why? This is a stupid story. Maybe it's because I'm from Africa as well. And I'm just like, we've heard so many of these stories. He's just like, you know, you missed, can you go to the car? Okay, the whole way he was just angling for a tip the whole way back. He was just like telling us a sob story about, you know,
But he made like sexual jokes, Jane, and I didn't get them until
that
after we were in the car. You're like, Megan, he implied a whole bunch of sexual things, and I was like, he didn't. And then she reset it, and only when she reset it, I was like, I was shocked. I was like, absolutely appalled that I hadn't even copped that he was saying all of this stuff to
yeah,
me.
we were like, wow, that's a bit and that's why I was just I was thinking like, as soon as he said about the trip, so he basically said that, you know, his boss is watching, and so can we go? I said, oh, we don't have money. He said, can you go to the car as if you're going, I'll go with you to the car, and then just slip me the tip. Like, if you enjoyed this, then you must, yeah, you show your appreciation. And I was just like, no, you don't mean to say that. You just mean to be like, I hope you enjoyed this. This was amazing. But he have this whole story, which he's obviously telling to every person. So, but you can't feel, you feel like you have to, because you just put in such an awkward position, I suppose.
Yeah. I do think it also comes back to like, it's interesting that the tipping came back, you know, like Venus also rules like self-worth and value on stuff. So it triggered a few things for me as well, because I mean, we could spend literally, there's so many different variations and angles to this that like, I think, you know, my Chiron wound is linked to self-worth and value. And so I felt like this, I really did feel like, oh my God, these people are struggling. You are not struggling as much as these people. You need to provide for them. There's a sense of responsibility there, Megan. And then at the end of it, I think I was so exhausted by the end of it that I like I apologize to the last few service providers that we had, because at the end of it, I was just like, I actually can't. I can't. I was draining so much of my emotional energy on worrying about this money aspect that at the end, I was just like, I actually don't have I don't have any more to give. Whereas I think if we had approached it with your idea in the beginning, which was less is more, we do it consistently, everyone would have gotten something. At the end, I don't think the end providers, I was just like, sorry, I've run out of money.
Sorry, we don't actually. I'm not going to draw more money because it's just charging me every time. Every day we're drawing money and then it's gone. And yeah, so lots of lessons. So don't be like us. Just plan ahead and put your money, and don't feel like if you read that they do $100 a day or whatever the case is, what it is, like, don't feel like you have to do that. Like, just do what you can afford. I think that's the main thing, and what you feel comfortable with, because you don't want to be resentful and feeling these feelings as well. And yes, everyone is battling around the world, and if you have more, and because it is Africa and you see the things, you do feel like it's really hard. But I also really would like to save some people here in Durban who, you know, lost everything in the flood, which is what I have been helped raise funds and things like that and collections. But like, I don't really want to be helping people everywhere around the world when I can focus on my own backyard and helping the people that are here that I know need my help as well. So I think that's also where I was a bit conflicted. I'm just like, I was hoarding this money for someone handing me toilet paper when I need to help Corsi buy school shoes for her child.
For sure. And I think, then like, what else? I'm just trying to think what else came up for us, but I definitely think it was a big growth. This was the first trip you did, like, that wasn't, you know, making money, like, for you. This was an actual trip, a complete, you know, this is you going on a holiday. What is that?
It was my first overseas trip since I'd had pay without her, because we'd gone to Mauritius in April last year. So it was like our first trip away from our child overseas. I've gone to like the Midlands and stuff like that, but when I do that, it's like one night. It was my first one since 2018, which when I came to see you, and then I also did Greece, which was a yoga retreat. It was my first like non-work thing as well. So it was a lot to, that's why also for me it was quite hard, because when I was doing it as a retreat, it was going to be a trade exchange. So I had to literally remember, I like had to come up with that money in like a month, whereas other people would have been saving, buying the air tickets, this. So luckily I had bought my air ticket a few months before. I had bought it already, and then we were going to work it back. But thank goodness for that. Otherwise, imagine if I had to do all of it in like 1 month. I would have, I did. It was 20 something thousand that I had to release the funds from the safe. So it was it was a big thing for me, like, that way. But then I was just like, it's a bucket list trip, like, put it out of your mind. You just have to put it out of your mind, and you have to just release it and release expectation. And but the energy, I think also the energy in Cairo was so intense for me, and it was go, go, go. And then we were go, go, go as well. So it was like double whammy. And it was so hot, and you just had to just keep going. So I just felt like maybe the energy was a good thing in that way, because it carried me through the itinerary. But then when we got to Luxor, first of all, we were awake at 2 a.m. to get to the airport, to get fetched at 3 or quarter to 3 or whatever it was. As we literally landed there, I felt such a shift.
Well, we got upgraded into business class. My first and only time that I've ever been in business class, and probably the last time I'll ever be. It was hilarious.
We say upgraded, but did we not pay for it without realizing?
Probably.
Probably in our thing. So we got upgraded to business class. Was nice because we could sit in the little lounge, which was the size of my office. And then, the energy was so different. We literally arrived there and we were like, you could exhale. It was just felt so different. It felt like a Midlands vibe, where there's like lots more trees and greenery. And there's such a rivalry between Cairo and there, because even our guards were like, so which one do you like better? And We're like, well, they're very different. It's like choosing between like two children. Like, they're so different. So it was so different for me. I could just feel like I could breathe. I felt grounded again. I must say our two Egyptologists were fantastic. Like, they
Yeah,
knew
they
their
were
stuff.
amazing.
They both had different personalities, and as soon as we, even when we landed in Luxor, as soon as we said we were spiritual and into meditation stuff, she was like, oh, yes. And then it's like it interested her quite a lot that we were like that. It was really, they were really great. And it was nice having females, to be honest. I think I found that that was very nice, especially with you and Venus. And I think it also, it was just nice. I did feel like more floaty there, more grounded, more like relaxed, easygoing. It was like, I mean, we did have less to do, so our time was, we had like half days, which is really nice. Our hotel was amazing, and we got to like, well, the pool area was amazing. We kept on getting all these places that had weddings and loud music and stuff, so we were like, we just want to sleep. Like, it wasn't great in that way. But yeah, the pool and relaxing in the afternoons there was really nice, and the places we saw were unbelievable.
I felt like the minute we arrived, I noticed more green, and like the air felt cleaner, and it just felt like less, city. Cairo is really bustling. The traffic is insane there. Just like there's lots of go, go, go. Whereas Luxor, I felt like the pace slowed down, and it just felt like we actually had chance to rest. You're right. The energy of the Egyptologists were, they both were amazing. They were lovely women, and I felt like we had like really great connections with both of them. And your energy slightly changed a little bit in Luxor because you moved further away from that Mars line into a Uranus line, but it's a Uranus line that just gives you this like feeling. It's like slightly quirky, and it's kind of the same energy that you would have had in Ireland. So this feeling of just feeling like naturally you and being okay with everything. And I did feel that energy shift change as well. Probably also because we had a lot of serious conversations up to that, and we kind of cleared a lot of things. That's so much what I love about our friendship, is that we are like, this was a huge experiment for both of us. And we kind of were like, right, we're in a test tube. Let's just see, like, let's shake it up and see how we go,
We could have run two ways. We could have like been better or worse and just like split completely when we got back.
I think like a younger version of ourselves. I think we've done a lot of growth, you and I, just over our friendship, like over the years that we've been friends. I think we've done a lot of growth. I think if like in the beginning, we probably would have been like, screw that. Like, I'm out for
I'm
myself
right.
all day. But like, I think like age and wisdom and growth and spirituality that we've done for ourselves and together, actually, we've shared a lot of that together over the years. That I think it really did help. And the place is deeply spiritual. Like Luxor, I felt like really strong energies in a lot of the sites that we went to in Luxor. It was like actually kind of overwhelming in some places, but it was so lovely to like share it with you. And I do believe that we're like soul sisters that had like a past life in Egypt. I know people are going like, no, what? Like, what's going on here? But like, I feel strongly in that, because a lot of our charts, like, a lot of our charts are polarities, and we bring out the best in each other, maybe also the worst, but like, the best, we think we're the best, so it's fine.
Yeah, I definitely felt it was such a change there that even like when we, and I think about the buzzing in the chest thing, I remember that when I was talking to Jen from Soul for Living before I went, she was like, I must wear, she said, I must do meditation and stuff working up to it, and it's going to be like a very heart chakra thing. So I had a ring that was actually heart chakra for watermelon tourmaline. So it was like all about heart chakras. So I wore that ring. And she said it's going to be like very opening. And I think that was also the buzzing when I arrived there. And then when we were going into the tombs, I remember saying to you, like, I can feel like my heart space, like it was just buzzing into the one space. And I actually had to walk around. It was like, oh, it's a lot of energy over there. I'm just going to walk away now. It was intense. But it was so cool that we are actually that like in touch with ourselves and in our bodies that we know and we could feel that difference. I think other people would have been like, maybe I need to cough or something. We were like, whoa, there's a lot of energy in there. So it was interesting.
And then we did a hot air balloon, which like if anyone who knows knows how much I'm terrified of heights. Like I still get people on my Instagram sending me scary high picture videos, like reels and stuff, because like my husband loves to do it to me. Like Rob loves to send me stuff like of people doing ridiculous things in height, and it like makes my knees go jelly just looking at stuff like that.
I almost sent you something the other day.
When we were in, we did it twice when we were in Egypt, in Cairo. We did that big tower, the Cairo Tower, and I like walked along the wall because I didn't want to get to, and you were like literally hand over the fence taking photos, like with your phone, literally could drop and crash and you could fall over accidentally, and it was just like very overwhelming for me in Cairo. And then we went to Luxor and we'd booked this hot air balloon. And I don't know why I have this thing that like I have like serious like FOMO when it comes to like doing bucket list ticking of things. Like if I'm good, if somebody that I know is going to experience it and I have an opportunity to do it myself, I would rather do it and be like on my knees on the floor begging like that I'm going to be okay than not do it at all. So I knew I was doing the hot air balloon because you were keen on it, but I wasn't sure how it was going to go. And I remember like you really like, and we had done all this chatting about our root centers and everything in human design. We'd gone through each of our centers and kind of talked about what's different for each other. So when we got there, we also woke up at ridiculous o'clock that morning. You were like, I'm grounded, I'm safe. I'm grounded, I'm safe. And you kept saying that to me. And I was like, I'm grounded, I'm grounded. And I'm like, okay, Jane, like this is really not going to help. I'm going to be like, this is going to be terrifying. And we got into this like hot air balloon with like 40 people. So it wasn't a small hot air balloon, which maybe helped actually, because if it had been a small little dingy one, then I would have been like, oh my God, this, it felt comfortable that there was more of us to die, you know, at the same time. Yeah. We got up and you kept saying to me like, how are you fine? You're so calm, Megan. I'm like, I was so calm that whole time. I've never felt that ever before. And I seriously believe it's because we connected with each other so much over the course of the trip. We'd been like, we'd already been there for a few days. And then you kept like kind of just saying it. I'm grounded, I'm safe. Like the whole time we were in the car leading up to it, that I felt grounded and I felt safe. I wasn't scared at all. I could probably do it again just because of that experience. It was so crazy.
Yeah. And also I was actually quite nervous. Well, I was excited most of the time, but I was nervous. I'm one of those people with, even with my child, that I will replay. A lot of people have this when we have a baby and you actually picture everything that can go wrong. Like, I'm like, no, I don't want my mom, when she was small, I was like, I don't want my mom to carry her up to my studio because she might fall and trip on the things and then she's going to fall and she's going to fall on her. Like, this is what goes through my head every day. Still, like, I don't want, I need to move that because if she falls off her back, she'll impale herself. Like, I promise you, it's still, I didn't actually talk about this much ever. So I replay things and then I was like, what happens if the thing falls? And I was having all these thoughts. And then, but so I was nervous, but I couldn't say anything because I didn't want to make you nervous. So I turned it into excitement because I'm quite good at that. I'll flip that energy into excitement. And I said, I was like giddy. Hey, I was like there. And I got out the car. I was still nervous in the car and everything, but I kept saying it in my head as well. I'm grounded. I'm safe. I was saying it for myself as well. And then when we got there, I was just like buzzing. I was like jumping. I was dancing. I was like bouncing around and I was like, I'm so excited, this is so exciting. And I had to say it also to make me believe it, because your mind only believes what you say. So I was like, I'm so excited, it's gonna be amazing. I've got like videos of us like dancing around, and you're just like but then when you got in, you were fine. It was just so weird, like, and then you were still, well, first you're still in there and towards the back of the basket, and you're saying, how are you standing so close to the rail, and you have your hand on there? And I was just like, I don't know,
you had your freaking, what is that damn thing that's like,
oh, the X3, the Insta360, I had leaning against the thing. But yeah, I was like, look here, come for a photo. And it's like sticking out. She's like, you can see her, she's like, has her hand there smiling for a photo in the video, and she's like, it's gonna fall, you have it over the edge. I'm like, it's between my thighs. And she's like, oh, because the pole was like, I had clenched it between the thighs so it wouldn't fall over. But yeah, then eventually your hand was on the edge, and I looked at it and I was like, Megan, your hand, look at your hand. I actually took a photo of your hand on the because you came to the front of it. And she's like, oh, I'm actually fine. I was like, this is insane that you are fine. Like, I was so, we were so worried about you, never mind the person next to me who fainted and had, like, I don't know what happened to her. She fainted or had a seizure or something.
Yeah, like some
she
sort
was
of
dying. I had to rescue this lady and throw water in her face and slap her cheeks, and her husband and it was like gripping her. I honestly thought she was gonna die. I was like, what is that? Her eyes had rolled back and he was like looking at, and I just got the water and just shoved through it in her face. But then her pupils were so dilated that she didn't even blink, like she had no reaction. That's when I was like, oh, this chick is dead. Like, what is happening? Like, this is gonna ruin. I was so worried about you. Meantime, someone else was the one who, you know, was on the floor literally. He was just holding her up, and then he put like sugar in her mouth or something. And then she, like, after the water, it took a second for the water, like, she didn't blink, but then after a while she was like, ooh, and I came around and her eyes, she was just like looking bewildered, and he was like slapping her, and I'm like, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, like, you're okay. And then then she came around and they were saying, like, they don't know why it happens to her. The doctors don't know why. I'm like, well, you need to go for some more tests.
And maybe not take, like, go on a hot air balloon. Like, I think that was actually so risky to put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
Other people in that situation. Yeah, that was actually wild. I can't believe that happened as well. Because your eyes just, like, they were just open, and you threw the water.
Catatonic.
The water just literally rolled off her eyeball down her cheek. And I've never seen that in my life. She had some sort of, it was like, I don't know. I don't even know if it was a seizure or just like a fit of some kind, but yeah, that was wild. Otherwise the hot air balloon was amazing. I thought that it was like, it was a really nice bucket list tick to say that we've done it. Wow.
It was very serene.
And it was a full moon. It was a full moon.
Yes. And we were like, we'd been to that Valley of the Queens, and we'd like gone there the day before. So you're like floating near the tombs that you'd gone. It was just really beautiful. But we didn't go as high as I thought we would. I thought you go very high, but you don't go super high that it's like scary, scary. I mean, for me, for other people, it was already like, what? But it was such a nice way to end off. I think if we were done in the beginning and then it wouldn't have felt as nice as doing it at the end. I thought it was really nice because we went from there back to the hotel, and then didn't we fly out?
Yes, then we flew out back to Cairo and spent one really bad night at a Formula One airport hotel. Oh, that was so depressing.
Yeah, just don't. Like a dungeon.
I think at that stage,
all day the next day.
Yeah. I think at that stage we were kind of just like, what is this place? Like, we were just kind of laughing at it, but it was like, it is actually kind of wild that we had that experience after all the lovely hotels we stayed at. It felt a bit weird that like they put us up in this like shocking place. It makes sense in terms of like, if you have a very early flight, like I did, I had a very early flight. You're very close to the airport, but I'm convinced that there's better options closer to the airport.
Yeah. I'd rather wake up earlier and then drive.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just need to, maybe it was because our rooms were downstairs. I think if you have an upstairs room, maybe it doesn't feel so dungeony. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is what it is. That's what they put everyone at, maybe. But they were just, I think we were coming back down from our Luxor luxury. Not that it was luxury, it was like 4-star hotels, but like we were coming from that like high of that energy back to the car. It almost like was a slap in the face, because even the people were rude. The security guy was rude to us when we arrived there, and we were like, oh, it's back to this masculine energy, whereas it was like it felt more Venus-y in Luxor than it did in Cairo.
Yeah, and I think if we were to go back, I would go from Luxor down to Aswan and that kind of area. I actually think I don't really do well with like big city trips. And I think now that we've seen the pyramids and everything in Cairo, like there's nothing really holding me like to going back to Cairo again, to be honest. But I would love to see more of like, there was that temple that was linked to astrology, like moon stars temple that we couldn't go to because it was just a little bit too far a drive
if it was an hour. So she, because it was 2.5 hours, I think, drive. If it was an hour away, I think we would have done it. We would have gone, driven the hour, gone, seen it, and driven back an hour. But it was, I think it was like 2 hours or 2.5 hours. It was going to be like a 5 hour round trip. And we were like, we don't have time. Yeah. But that would be cool.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, there's reasons to go back to Egypt. For me, I mean, I'd be interested to go with somebody else with a different energy and see how that activates. But I could happily go back with you now because I don't know how it is, you know, how it would be for us both as well. So I think it was a really good learning experience. It definitely put things, a lot of things into perspective. And we worked through a lot of stuff. We worked through a lot of our shit over that time, definitely.
And like you, like we journaled every day, like you were like, okay, we're going to journal this journal. And we did a lot of that. That was nice. But yeah, I just think it was a good test. I think it's so nice to have you know astrology that you can now, I know you're just going to do this for the rest of your life, whoever you're traveling with and where you're going, you're going to check just so you're like, I just want to mentally prepare myself for this chick's lines because so that I know what energy she's going to have and that can then, you know, help. So I think that is, it really is a life skill that you have. I mean, it's your business, but in the same thing, it's like such a powerful tool to be able to see these things because you told me what to expect. So now I know, okay, cool. If I go there and do a retreat one day, I'm like, okay, we will go here, there, maybe don't do Cairo. But then, you know, you want to do the pyramids. But if you're taking a group of women, you know, we're just going to do 2 days in Cairo, then we're going to hoy and go somewhere else. But it really is helpful to have that energy and that knowledge because you can predict almost like how your friend or your family or whoever it is that you are traveling with, you can then be like, this is the energy that you're going to have. It's going to be amazing. You're going to have the best time, blah, blah, blah. Or like me, you're like, you just need to ground yourself and you need to just know that it's going to be better when we go to Luxor. And I was like, okay, I'm holding on to that.
Yeah, definitely.
And just work with it. I think that's it. Work with the energy, not try work against it.
Yeah.
So the Mars, I knew it, what it was going to be like, and it's hard and masculine, go, 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 go. So I knew that I was just going to feel these things and I just had to work through them and move through them and know it was going to get better and just move with the energy. So like keep going, keep moving with it and not try and like be like, no, no, I don't want this. And then when we got to Luxor, it like freed up and it flowed so much better. So yeah, I think that's the key is working with what, and that's life in general, work with what you have and work with it and not try and resist it. Like go with it. And it just, you, that's the only way is to go through something.
Yeah.
You have to go through it. You have to move through it, literally. And that's what we did. So I think it was, now I want to go post more photos and stuff.
Well, we have to now because we're gonna promote this.
Now we're gonna go back. I haven't made all my reels. I need to go and make more reels. And I said that to myself about Mauritius. I was like, I must post on the fly while I'm doing it because you forget and then you get busy and laugh again and then you don't post what you actually had planned to post. So I need to go and do that because I literally haven't posted everything I wanted to post and there's so much I haven't done. I was so busy uploading it to Google Drive. Hey, we were so good. We were backing that shit up every day. Backing up photos, backing up. I was like, I can't lose these photos or these videos. But I do think that, yeah, I think that you should travel with friends. I think it's very important. And I think that you learn a lot about yourselves and to not have too many expectations. I think that's the key as well.
Yeah.
Compare it with.
Yeah, I think, I also think that like if anyone's listening and thinking, oh, Mars and Venus, like you have to really know what your chart is like as well. Like we knew going in where your Mars was and where your Venus was and how you were going to interact as well. That's something that I would say, because I have been to a Mars line and had like a great experience on a Mars line, but Mars is my chart ruler. So I felt different, you know, there. Mm-hmm. I did have a fight, but like that's beside the point. you know, it happens. But yeah, I think, I going back to what you said about how I now travel differently. I do travel differently, knowing what I know. And if I can get hold of your birth time, I will always check everyone's charts. Like, that's just like the thing I do now. I'm like that creepy friend that goes, "So do you know when you were born?
Yeah.
What time?" And then I'm like, checking.
I really want to know my mom's, but she doesn't know. So I'm going to get Janelle to test, because yeah, I really want to know her human design and her astrology. I think would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Well. But yeah, I think we will have to do like a little powercast episode on like how to respect your friends or something like that. Like, because we literally got like, it could have blown people's relationships up. If there was anyone else,
yeah,
I think that it would have been a kaboom. And we were fine. Yeah. We were like all emotional about how mature we were. We're like holding hands in the back of this our car, in the back of our car, driving through, I don't know where we were, Luxor probably.
Yeah.
Luxor, and we're like, wow, we're so emotionally mature. That's just, I love it. We're like, I'm gonna cry. So beautiful.
Look at us growing.
Me with no water in my chart. I'm like, well, yes, this is so lovely. Oh no, it was so good. But yeah, I think that there's so many lessons for people, and that if you are thinking about going to Egypt, it's magic. Like, you have to, but try and do Cairo and Luxor or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't just do Cairo, because I think it's quite hard. I mean, for someone that might be their Venus line, though, that's the beauty of these things, that could be someone else's Venus line. Well, it's your Venus line, but I'm like, well, it could be your Jupiter line or whatever it is. It doesn't mean you're going to feel the same way I felt, because that was my Mars. And I think also, doesn't it depend on like your Mars and what the degree and or what sign it's in, how you would feel in that place?
Yeah. Sign and house of your Mars line or Venus line or whatever. So if you pull up your chart and see what line you're on, just check what the house and sign, you know, and then just kind of read up on that particular energy, because even a Jupiter line can have a negative impact. But like, I think different people have different experiences. I think also, like, kind of keep in mind, just in terms of travel, like, what do you enjoy? Because Cairo is a bustling city, doesn't take away whatever good lines you have. Even the best lines can sometimes also still be, it can be like kind of energetically draining to be in and amongst different energies, different people, like thousands and upon millions of people in that city, live in that city. And you're just like, and you're in traffic and whatever. There's logistical implications as well to travel. So it's just knowing that. And I think a little mix of everything, going along the Nile, touching the water in the Nile, you know, all these things.
All these things that we do.
And definitely, I think, and I think it, we had such a great experience of you coming to visit me in Ireland. We love hanging out with each other. And so I can't wait to travel to other places with you, like new lands, new activations.
Mm. And now that we know these things and that we have this mature, emotionally mature relationship, which I mean, we always really have, but we haven't had those deep conversations, that I don't think I've actually had conversations. And I'm inverted commas saying conflict. Because it wasn't really it was a little bit of a conflict. It was a little bit, and it was uncomfortable, but we spoke about it. But I've never had those kind of conversations with anyone else. So like, it was really like these deep conversations of like understanding each other. And you know what it was? Wanting to understand the other person.
Yes.
It would be easy to not try and understand them. And that's the beautiful thing about being spiritual, is that we have these tools. So we were literally talking about astrology and human design and our charts and each and understanding each other. And even if you didn't understand something in mine, I was like, yes, but in my chart, I am this way. Awesome. But if they have any questions, if you guys have any questions about Egypt or topics or anything you want us to talk about, let us know, because we can then go deeper. Just email or DM us on Instagram. So this is the Expat Astrologer, and I am Unselfishly Me. So easy to remember, easy to find. Just send us a DM and we will answer them.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode with me and Jane. I hope that it was interesting and informative. If you like this, please subscribe to my podcast or like and subscribe on YouTube, and follow me for more. Chat soon. Bye.